Our next case for argument this morning is Bisek against the Soo Line. Second, until the rustling subsides, so we can give you our full attention. Let's hope that it wasn't anticipation of your argument that's driving everyone out of the courtroom.
Your Honors. If I may proceed, Stephen Garmisa here for Gene Bisek. I believe that's how he pronounces his name. This is, I believe, the first time the Seventh Circuit has considered the proper approach for a case where a personal injury plaintiff failed to schedule the personal injury claim when he filed for bankruptcy.
And one of the questions that seems to me important is a subject that has not been broached by either side, but which I'd like you to address now, which is why you are here, and that this claim belongs to the trustee, as I understand it, and you are neither the trustee nor the trustee's lawyer. So what's going on here? Right, we said 18 months or so ago in Pease against the Product Workers Union, the claims of this kind belong to the trustee. The trustee could, of course, abandon them to the debtor. But unless the trustee has abandoned this claim to your client, it's the trustee's claim, and the litigation has to be by the trustee. And since you're not the trustee, you're representing the debtor who committed the bankruptcy fraud, I don't see how this case can go anywhere.
I have two responses, two answers, Your Honor. First of all, if Your Honor's analysis is correct, then the order dismissing a claim that belonged to the trustee is void, and the trustee could substitute in as the real party in interest and could pursue
Indeed.
The claim.
The trustee can do what he wants. I mean, one would think that since the claim doesn't belong to the debtor, belongs to the estate, that no orders entered in a suit brought by the debtor are of any account. The only question is, where's the trustee and what does he want?
The
trustee doesn't appear to be here.
The second answer, Judge, is I believe that the trustee did in fact partially abandon the claim pursuant to the bankruptcy court order that was issued after the district court judge entered the case which dismissed the FELA claim. The bankruptcy judge, on joint motion of Mr. Bisek and the bankruptcy trustee, entered an order that said the claim that my firm, Hoyan Farina, could continue to represent Mr. Bisek.
Unfortunately, if that's what happened, then it seems to me the district court may well be on solid ground in invoking judicial estoppel. If it's really worthless to the estate because it's been abandoned, then it's not clear your client should be able to benefit from this. The only argument I can see for that helps your client is to treat this as an action by the estate. Judicial estoppel doesn't apply to an action by the estate because there's nothing that would bind the trustee.
Correct.
Have a recovery for the estate, and your client would get whatever his entitlement is. If, as he says, there are two personal exemptions to be had, he might be able to get them.
And that
but
I
as
believe.
As long as it's a personal prosecution by your client, the district court's approach seems to make a great deal of sense.
But what I believe in essence happened here as a practical matter is exactly what Your Honor outlined, because what I said was
so
a partial abandonment.
What I outlined is there are two real options. One is the trustee is prosecuting this claim on behalf of the estate. In that event, you have no standing, and we're going nowhere. The other is the trustee's abandoned it to your client, and in that event, you're hit by judicial estoppel. Your client is best off only if the trustee prosecutes the claim. But whatever this isn't that.
Well, I believe remember that the trustee under the bankruptcy court's order gets $7,000 of the proceeds
if
of
any.
The FELA claim. So I took that as meaning that the trustee was keeping a hand in, so to speak, and did want us to pursue the case because the
hand in only for the money. I mean,
excuse me.
I said it's an apt analogy if all he's doing is just reaching for the money.
Well, but the order did say that we were to continue prosecuting the claim. The bankruptcy court itself entered an order saying that we were to continue prosecuting the FELA claim. So that's why I believe that the trustee remains a real party in interest, even though he's operating with us out front, and he has not formally substituted
in. Are you then representing the trustee? Is that your position?
Well, not formally. We did not...
I don't know of any informal representation. It's formal or informal.
Well,
formal or nothing.
Well, but I do believe...
I don't see why you're not jumping at my suggestion that your client's case be dismissed, the judicial estoppel ruling go away, and that the trustee, if he wants his $7,000 or even more, prosecute the case personally, free of any conceivable judicial estoppel.
Well, that one way or another, that's what I thought there were different ways of getting there.
Look, it's not one way or another. What I'm saying is that if it's the way you want it, you may be behind the eight ball, that the only way out is to have the trustee prosecute this claim.
But I do agree that the trust, if one construal of the record was that it belonged to the trustee.
No, it's not a construal of the record. You are not the trustee, and you are not the trustee's lawyer. The trustee never hired you to represent him. This is not the trustee's litigation.
Then I agree that the order should be vacated because the real party in interest was dismissed the claim that belonged to the trustee without bringing the trustee in.
If you were listening carefully, what he says, you ought to abandon your appeal, withdraw the appeal, and let the trustee proceed independently.
Well, I just want to make sure that the claim is not extinguished.
And I have no idea about that.
You worry about statute of limitations.
That's exactly,
briefs. And you say that the whole reason I got from your briefs, at least, the reason their trustee isn't here is because he can no longer file. And the only thing, I don't know, for whatever reason, he can't step into the debtor's shoes or something. I don't know what it is, but that seemed to be the assertion.
That's what I'm afraid of.
It's not clear to me why the chosen action is not the trustee's asset and the trustee takes over the suit.
Because it's been dismissed with prejudice. Because the suit has been dismissed with prejudice, and at this point the trustee cannot refile because of the three-year jurisdictional statute of limitations.
There's no such thing as a jurisdictional statute of limitations.
Well, there's no way. It is not an ordinary statute of limitations. It's a statute of repose, in other words. And the 3 years are up, and there's no way around it. And that's what I'm concerned about. So that is basically where I'm at. I believe that it, as things stood, I agree that as things stood the day that the bankruptcy judge dismissed the case with prejudice, which was before the bankruptcy court entered that order, the trustee was the real party in interest. It was the trustee's complaint. But what I'm saying is the proper procedure would have been, before dismissing the claim, is to bring the trustee in and notify the trustee and say, wait a second, you're not the real party in interest.
It's not clear to me that you're in a good position to make that claim, since you are, after all, representing the person who committed the bankruptcy fraud, rather than notifying the trustee in a timely and proper manner.
Well, no. The bankruptcy attorney who represented Mr. Bicek actually notified the bankruptcy trustee before the FVLA complaint was filed. The letter from the bankruptcy attorney, Ms. Tome, was dated June 19, 2003, and she notified the trustee of the existence that Mr. Bicek had a claim under the FVLA, and the FVLA complaint was not filed until August 6, 2003, and then it was on October 8, 2003 that the trustee wrote a letter saying that at the time the trustee had no objection to treating that as an exempt asset. But I think it's very important that the trustee was notified before the FVLA complaint was filed, so that what I'm saying is that there's no grounds for the finding that there was fraud rather than an inadvertent mistake by Mr. Bicek. And that is a finding that I believe should be vacated. I believe the district court judge applied a wrong rule of law in applying a per se rule in which there would be no chance of no opportunity to testify and prove that there was an inadvertent mistake if under the district court's ruling, if there was a motive to conceal, then you would never get into the situation where you can testify and explain that this was an innocent mistake. And in this case, the bankruptcy estate, they were only, when you look at the schedule of assets and liabilities, they were only underwater by $9,000. The assets were $131,750. The liabilities were $140,000. There was really, I don't believe that the record supports the notion that there was a finding intentional fraud here. But then again, that was something, what I'm asking the court to do is to draw the reasonable inferences in favor of Mr. Bicek. And if you draw the reasonable inferences in favor of them as appropriate under a motion for summary judgment, then there should have been a hearing at which Mr. Bicek could have testified, and then the bankruptcy judge, then the district court could have made a finding on whether or not.
By that calculation, the bankruptcy proceeding was not filed in good faith because your client had assets exceeding his liabilities.
Well, that's where he gets into whether or not it was an inadvertent a mistake or whether it was an intentional. And in this case, if you look at the accident report itself, it said he was removing a cable. He felt a pain in the side of his neck. This wasn't like an amputation case where somebody thinks this is a huge thing. And when they were so close to the break-even point on liability, where between the assets and liabilities, I don't see that there's grounds for a finding of fraud in this case. So I would ask I would reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal if I can.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mr. Frazier.
Thank you, Your Honors, and good morning. The court's inquiry and comments are correct. Mr. Bicek, the plaintiff in this case, is the author of his own misfortune. He did not disclose the claim in the bankruptcy case. He was given an opportunity to disclose it later on. He still did not disclose it. Had he disclosed it when the Tome letter was written, the statute of limitations would not have precluded the trustee from taking action. The fact of the matter is he still didn't disclose it. It was not disclosed at the time the district court rendered its decision on the motion for summary judgment based on judicial estoppel. And when the trustee was advised of it, the statute of limitation by Mr. Bicek through counsel, the statute of limitations had indeed precluded a claim being brought by the trustee. But the action that is before the court at this juncture is the action brought by Mr. Bicek. And that is the action that was brought for damages.
I hope you can see the problem which underlies my question, which is why should, assuming the bankruptcy proceeding was filed in good faith and should have existed at all, why should misconduct by the debtor wipe out his creditor's rights? wipe out an asset that is owned by his creditors. And your argument is that the more bankruptcy fraud somebody commits, the worse off his creditors are. But, of course, the rule against bankruptcy fraud is designed to protect the creditors, not to shaft them.
That's correct, Your Honor. The fact of the matter
is... So why should bankruptcy fraud committed by a debtor end up shafting the creditors?
Well, because in this case and in this setting, to allow otherwise or to determine otherwise...
No, I can understand why BISEC should be wiped out. But I don't understand why the creditors should be wiped out. Why isn't this an asset that belongs to the trustee and be properly pursued for the benefit of creditors, even if we structure things so that BISEC never gets a penny?
The asset does belong to the trustee. The fact of the matter is the bankruptcy order discharging the claimant here, Mr. BISEC, was entered in December of 2003. And the trustee there was no trustee. The bankruptcy action was over at that point. It was not pending. The only way that could have been done was to reopen the bankruptcy proceeding, and then if the trustee so chose, he would be in a position to make a claim. That did not occur. But the action that's before the court here is the action brought by Mr. Bizek, and it's a classic example of the application, proper application of the doctrine of judicial estoppel. This Seventh Circuit has recognized judicial estoppel in other contexts. In the Cassidy case and in the Levinson case, this is simply an extension of that doctrine, which we believe should be determined in accordance with the tests laid down in Coastal Plains. And that, of course, is a Fifth Circuit case. It's been adopted by the Eleventh Circuit. It is a well-reasoned, sound determination, and clearly under the two-prong test, Mr. Bizek's failure to document and list the asset, or I mean, the claim, that is, or the claim settlement, was not inadvertent. He knew about it. Clearly he knew about it. He rejected the settlement offer from the railroad just 2 months just 2 months before he filed. So he clearly knew about it. And as to the second prong, he did have motive. The motive was, as the district court properly found, was to retain and control the claim. And 8 months after the bankruptcy, he then didn't go back to the Western District Court in Wisconsin to file his FVLA claim. He filed it in the Northern District of Illinois. Very interesting.
Backing this all up to a point where the trustee could have done something, where would that be? Would he have appealed the dismissal with prejudice? Or where would could he have intervened on behalf of the creditors? Because it's too late now, it appears.
Right. He could not have within the statute of limitations because
no trustee.
BISEC didn't advise him of the claim. It's that period of time
when if he'd notified the trustee of this situation, which he knew about, then the trustee could have perhaps, I don't know, however they call it, stepped into his shoes or intervened on behalf of the creditors or something where they could have preserved it within the time?
He could have, Your Honor. And the tome letter was June of 2003.
And when did the statute run?
The incident was 12/20 of 2000, so the statute ran in 12/20 of 2003. Had the trustee reopened the bankruptcy and been informed that there was a claim,
or at least looked into it to see whether it's worth anything.
See whether it's worth anything, see whether he chose to pursue it or not.
Yeah.
He didn't, and it's not before the court. And as far as the Rule 60B2 issue, clearly based on newly discoverable evidence, clearly the evidence claimed to be newly discovered was, as Judge Shabazz put it in the district court, newly manufactured evidence. It doesn't meet the test. It wasn't in existence at the time of the dismissal of this case. In addition to that, it wouldn't have made any difference. In fact, what it really does is solidifies the fact that Mr. Bizek, in fact, did have a motive not to disclose, and that is he didn't want to give up what now he's agreed to, $7,000 to the trustee in the event of any recovery. So I believe my time is close to up. If there are any questions,
is it clear? Is it true that had just at least that this number of 62,000 been thrown into the asset side, that he wouldn't have been bankrupt?
I think that's correct, Your Honor. I think his assets would have exceeded the liabilities in that case.
This is bad faith from beginning to end.
I couldn't agree more, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Frazier. Mr. Garmisa, anything further?
If I may, Your Honor, I'm afraid that if the appeal is simply dismissed, that the trustee could not refile the FELA claim. So what I would ask the court to do is if the court is going to dismiss I would ask that the order dismissing the cause of action with prejudice be vacated and the case remanded so that the trustee can intervene to preserve the claim. I believe the trustee should have a chance to structure things with Mr. Bisek so that Mr. Bisek will have an incentive to continue participating rather than just walking away from it. But I believe that that would be the appropriate way.
So you're suggesting that in the end, your client is prepared to commit extortion as well, to refuse to testify honestly.
No, I think that
case.
Oh, well, the trustee. If
we,
the trustee decides
he will engage in extortion, so we'll structure things to pay him off.
No,
this is going from bad to worse.
No, but I believe the trustee would certainly want to have somebody have a financial stake in the outcome of the case. So I would ask that the court vacate the order and remand the case so that the trustee can intervene and preserve the claim. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.